the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of December 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in just a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chuck Shelby. He's at Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. Amy Rochkus will be here with her rendition of The Night Before Christmas, and I'll do one too. And then as we close out our half hour, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Pete Levitt. It all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat at $7.83. Down a half, the May at 8.10 and a quarter, up a half, July at 8.23, up a half, and September futures today, 8.36 and three quarters, up a half cent. The hard red in Kansas City settled 8.45 in the lead option, a half cent higher. From the corn pit back in Chicago, nearby March futures, $6.14, up a nickel. May futures, 5 cents higher as well, $6.22. The settlement price in July corn, 6.25 and three quarters, 4.5 cents higher. September at 578.5, up 5.25, and December futures 551.25, 1.25 cents higher. Next year's March at 559, that's March of 2012, up a penny for the day. January soybeans, a gain of 20.75 cents at 1349.5, the March at 1360, up 20.25. May beans, 1367, up 20.25 cents. And July futures, 1369.25, up 20.25. November beans of next year at 1266 for the new crop, up 17.5 cents. January bean meal at 360, up 7.30. January soybean oil at 56.59, 62 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished $104 even, down 12.5 cents. February is at 107.57.5, up 2.5. January feeders at 121.45, down 22.5. The March at 123.67.5, up a nickel. And the February lean hogs today, down 15 cents at 78.72.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. February crude oil futures, $91.53 a barrel, up about $1.07. Ethanol at $2.30.1 cents, up 2.2 cents. And natural gas at $4.07.6 cents, down 7.6 cents. Heating oil, rather diesel fuel, at $2.54.4. That's a penny and 6 cents higher on the afternoon. And gold futures at $1,380 even. A settlement price there, down $6.80. The Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 5 points lower at 11,554 now. And the U.S. dollar at 80.5 is down 0.21 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon. Yep, in Urbana-Champaign, mostly sunny skies, a high near 35 degrees, north-northeast winds. They'll come in at around 6 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 21. East-northeast winds between 3 and 6. And then on Friday, snow, mainly after noon. East-northeast winds between 3 and 7. A chance of precip tomorrow, 80%. New snow accumulation in the area, 1 to 2 inches. Friday night, snow likely mainly before midnight. Cloudy, a low of 21. North-northeast winds between 7 and 9. A 60% chance of precip. And on Christmas Day, a 30% chance of snow. Cloudy, a high near 27 degrees. North-northwest winds between 9 and 14 miles an hour. No gust up all the way to 20 miles an hour. Saturday night, scattered flurries, mostly cloudy, a low of 16. Sunday, scattered flurries, mostly cloudy, a high of 24. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 11 degrees. Monday, it'll be partly sunny, a high near 20. And Monday night, partly cloudy, a low of just 9 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour, and we talk with Pete Levitt.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker is away today. In his stead, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Thanks so much, Chuck, for filling in on this day before Christmas Eve.
Yeah, what a nice day to be here, Todd. We get some early Christmas presents as farmers with a nice, strong market today.
It was a nice, strong market. What happened in Chicago?
Well, I think we're weather market in Argentina, South America, the dryness potential there and the heat coming back in with the tight supplies of corn, beans, and wheat. Weather market's starting early and continues to be the focus of this market.
When you talk to producers, are you suggesting that they make sales at this point or wait it out as we head into the new year? That $6 mark looks pretty fine in the corn, I would think, to many producers.
Yeah, it's a good profit, Todd. I mean, I think our main focus, though, is re-ownership. If you let it go, we really think it's important to be back in the game and have something on paper. Or if you don't want to sell a cashier, there's some really inexpensive put options that would create a floor underneath you just in case something unexpected was to the negative side of this market. So we're trying to position ourselves on paper to cover our bases.
Tell me both about the upside and downside options and what you're suggesting.
Well, if you let it go, we bought some 650 corn calls today, May corn calls. That's one strategy we're looking at. If you want to go to the put side, you can buy some very inexpensive, some 540, 550 March puts just to get us through the January report. I think that's going to be a key as far as market direction. You know, what happened last year was pretty negative. This year we'll see what they have in store for us in that January 12th crop report.
And what do the puts and the calls cost at those levels?
On the call side, we're talking about 48 to 50 cents. You know, gets you all the way out there to through the springtime acreage report and all the different reports. So that's a number we're looking at there. On the put side, you can look at a put that in the 540 puts about 11, 12 cents. So with a good strong basis, we look for that to continue either way. You got a 525 floor, 530 floor. That's pretty minimal cost, Todd, to make sure that, you know, you got a price that you can certainly make money at.
So if you've got the corn and you have the ability to store it on the farm, I suppose, as opposed to in the elevator, are you more likely to do that with that 11-cent protection?
I think so. I mean, we're still fundamentally positive to these markets. We believe this market's still got potential. I think when you look what the cotton market did, that corn and beans are right up there technically near a point. If we break out going into next week or the first part of January, that there's still a significant upside, you know, opportunity in this market. But again, we're not willing to risk it unprotected. We're just feeling that we still think there's opportunity to see a rally yet to come in the market.
Do you see where do you see most of the demand coming from, and who's still at risk? Is the cattle producer at risk, the hog producer, the ethanol industry? Where are we at risk?
Well, I think we saw when the market started feeling and seeing that the crop wasn't there, we've had our first flush of buyers come into the market to cover, whether it be ethanol plants, livestock producers. The interesting thing about the livestock, when you look out there, we've got some great prices, some record high prices in cattle. So it's not really driving producers out of there. I think it just goes back to being able to cover your costs and manage that. So at this point, I think we're going into that after-harvest secondary buying needs of those end users, and I think that's what's going to cause this market to have another run up here. The other factor out there is certainly the exports today were very much strong. We've also seen in the last 3 or 4 weeks where they're constantly USDA, it gets revised. We revise those exports up. So our export pace has been pretty good. As we look forward, I think we can anticipate that that continues. And then you couple that with the weather in South America, it's given concern again to the people that use corn and beans that, you know, maybe we're get some more coverage because we're just not sure about that crop. Corn and beans coming out of South America.
Many have discussed the possibility of an acreage battle yet to come for corn and beans, and that would be a reason for prices to rally. Have farmers, in your opinion, made much of their mind up yet about whether they are willing to change or whether they just as soon stay with their current mix and rotations?
Well, I think we've had a lot of discussions with producers, and I know on our own farm operation, the one thing I think the trade misses when it comes to planting corn, there's a tremendous cost to plant corn. If you want to plant soybeans, all you got to do is go order your seed. We know Roundup is extremely cheap. So the cash outlay to plant soybeans is very minimal. When you look at corn, the amount of dollars you have to put on the table, and that's money at risk, and bankers look at that as money at risk, because if you put nitrogen out there and the crop isn't that good, that's a cost that you spent and it's gone. So I guess our view of corn and soybeans is, yeah, the corn on paper to some projections might look a lot better, but I think it disregards the fact that many producers have to borrow significant money to put out corn. We're not saying the corn acres are not going to be there. We're just doubting that getting to 90 million even is what's in farmers' minds when you look at the price of new crop corn against new crop soybeans.
But it's not been all that far in the past. It's not even distant past just a few years when we really pushed the number of corn acres in the United States.
Right. We can and do have the possibility of getting up there. I think in our feeling, 90 million is the top-end number we can get to, because cotton, at the price cotton is, anyone who can grow cotton in the South is certainly going to put that crop out. We feel that the corn price needs to be a lot higher than where it is compared to the cotton price to be competitive. So we're not saying we're not going to plant corn acres. We're just saying the 90-plus million seems to be a big stretch when you look again at the cost of putting out corn. A lot of guys have had difficulty also getting a price fix on their nitrogen. That market is very fluctuating and difficult for a lot of guys to get a handle or get that locked down.
The farm economics team here on campus with the Farm Doc website took a look back at 2010 incomes on the farm, one forward for 2011, grain and oil seed farm in the state of Illinois. They suggest that 2010 was a good year, and 2011 might be better. Do you agree with those statements?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a great time to be in agriculture. Lots of opportunities. There's certainly the volatility, though. You know, we've been going around the country doing some meetings, and the volatility is creating some uncertainty and some stress in farmers' minds. It's a very good time, but, you know, knowing how to handle it and deal with it still is a difficult process. That's where, again, going into next year, I think it's an excellent year, great opportunities, but dealing with that is something that we're all going to have to work on throughout the course of the year. And, you know, it's the best of times and maybe some of the worst of times when you look at the combination of the difficulty of accomplishing what we got to do next year.
Now, I made note that Dave Dickey was putting together kind of his winter meeting schedule. I think you guys are on that list several times coming up for producers to be able to come out and see the risk management team and a few other folks at some of those meetings?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the meetings we have had so far, we've had great attendance, lots of questions, more questions this year from farmers than we've ever had at any meeting. So, you know, looking forward to getting out there again, and always enjoy visiting with farmers. And so you guys do a great job, and I think farmers are really going to get some good information out of the meetings we're going to have this year.
You can see that meeting schedule on our website. It's at willag.org. Chuck Shelby, thank you so much for taking the time, and you have a very Merry Christmas.
Yep, Merry Christmas to all the producers out there, and we look forward to next year, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities. He's in Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Although temperatures did moderate somewhat this week, it was still well below normal across the northeastern half of Illinois, where there is still considerable snow on the ground. Temperatures this week range from near normal in central Illinois to 5 degrees below normal in northeastern Illinois. It was a different story to the south of the snow-covered parts of the state. Temperatures in southwestern Illinois were from 1 to 3 degrees above normal. This week also brought more snow to the northeastern half of the state, with about an inch in central Illinois and 2 to 4 inches in northern Illinois Monday into Tuesday. The southwestern third of the state continued its trend for dry weather. That reflected the trend for the month so far, with precipitation 75% of normal or higher in the northeastern half of the state, but as little as 25% of normal in locations in southwestern Illinois. The last week of 2010 will start out rather cold, but temperatures should moderate some during the week. Some snow is possible again about midweek. More substantial precipitation may be possible by Friday or Saturday, as a strong low-pressure system is forecast to wind up over the central plains. That precipitation could be rain, but the weather forecast models are a little iffy this far out, and we'll have to wait and see how they unfold next week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
The Night Before Christmas, a poem by Clement Moore. "'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mom in her kerchief and I in my cap, well, we'd just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn, there rose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter, and away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw open the sash, and the moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to the objects below, when what to my wondering eye should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted, and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle mounted the sky, so up to the house of the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys. And St. Nicholas, too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he'd flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose, like a cherry. His droll little mouth, it was drawn up like a bow. And the beard on his chin, that was as white as snow. The stump of the pipe he held tight in his teeth. And the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye, a twist of his head, soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings. And then he turned with a jerk, and laying his finger beside his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to a sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down on a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Let's stay now with our Night Before Christmas theme. Amy Rochkus is here. She has the view from the farm.
'Twas the night before Christmas when down on the farm, the animals were resting in the warm, cozy barn. Now was the time to reflect on the past year, saying thank you for all the great things they had here. A calf had been born to the brown and white cow, all bedded in straw from up in the haymow. The horses they whinnied with such a great joy, they were a present picked out for the farmer's young boy. The pigs they all squealed with such an ounce of their might, for the farmer's wife gave them extra apples tonight. Even the dogs gave a bark to say thanks, while wagging their tails the children all yanked. A nice quiet night is what they all thought, but little did they know quiet it was not, when what to their wondering eyes should appear but the farmer's whole family had all gathered here. First there was Mom, who gathers up all the eggs, and her cute little toddler clung tight to her legs. Next was the farmer all warm in his coat, and his brown-headed boy with his brand-new toy boat. Come Susie, come Matthew, come Peter and Paul, quick Jenny, quick Sarah, come close to the stall. To the animals they all went with treats in tow for their gratitude to those creatures they must show. The pigs all got apples for giving them bacon. The cows all got hay for the milk they have taken. Benny and Penny, the Labradors, got new bones. Their cute little puppies were all going to new homes. As the family and animals all gathered round, the snow started falling softly to the ground. Even the animals enjoy Christmas time, giving joy to the family without spending a dime. They all danced around the frolic and played as the farmer dropped down to his knees to say, "Thank you for my family and country home and a nice big area where my animals can roam. I promise to take care of the creatures and land and the people who lend a warm helping hand. Thank you for the freedom to do what I do, to produce food and fuel so others may have too." Time had come for the family to call it a night. The children needed sleep, though fight it they might. To the door they all went, waving goodbye. "What a night this has been," they said with a sigh. Once they retreated, the animals all lowed, for this was the best Christmas, one cow bellowed. They all settled in to get a good rest. The family they have had clearly was the best. Provide for them they would with all their might. That's what they must do night after night. Christmas on the farm is a sight to behold. Merry Christmas to all, both young and old. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
You're listening to the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. When I come back, we'll hear from Pete Levitt.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Common Ground Food Co-op in Lincoln Square Mall. Community-owned since 1974, Common Ground is a full-service grocer featuring locally grown and organic foods as well as homemade healthy deli meals. More information is available at 352-3347 or at the co-op. Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's National Pfeffernuss Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1675, Charles II of England issued a proclamation suppressing coffee houses. The public response was so negative that he revoked it on January 8th of 1676. In part, the proclamation declared, "Whereas it is most apparent that the multitude of coffee houses of late years set up and kept within this kingdom and the great resort of idle and disaffected persons to them have produced very evil and dangerous effects, His Majesty hath thought it fit and necessary that the said coffee houses be, for the future, put down and suppressed. In 1901, Sir Joseph Henry Gilbert died, an English chemist. He is the co-inventor of superphosphate fertilizer. Superphosphate is a compound produced by treating rock phosphate with sulfuric acid, phosphorus acid, or a mixture of the two. In 1893, Sir John Bennett Laws opened the first fertilizer factory, thus initiating the artificial fertilizer industry. The following year, Gilbert joined him, and they began a collaboration lasting more than half a century. And in 1982, the Environmental Protection Agency announced it had found dangerous levels of dioxin in Times Beach, Missouri. Eventually, the EPA purchased the town for $32 billion, quarantined the site, and spent $110 million for cleanup. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason in on the phone line with us today to take a look at the weather forecast for the holiday weekend and the globe. It's Pete Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete. How are you?
I'm fine, Todd.
Well, this weather forecast says that there should be a lot of snow, and it appears to be coming up from the south. Is that right?
Yeah. The system that's creating it is coming from the south, although the impulse aloft that's going to contribute to making it mostly snow is coming from the northwest. In any event, it's all going to move across Iowa and into Illinois tonight and tomorrow. And tomorrow night, we should be seeing some snow accumulating pretty well across the state. And it looks like Illinois is going to be one of the winners in the annual Who Gets the White Christmas Derby here. And I think we'll see a snowy day on Saturday and then clearing out Saturday night. So a continuation of the cold pattern, this time with some snow and accumulating snow. It should be a few inches worth of snow, 3 to 6 inches, I suspect, across much of the central northern portion of the state. And then after it clears most of the state Saturday night and Sunday, the lake effect snow will begin along the coast, Illinois Lakes coast, and we'll get some heavy snow squalls along the coast there on Sunday, and that'll shift around gradually, get over onto the Indiana side of the lakefront on Sunday night and Monday, and that may be an extended period of snow. So it looks like all those new sleds that get delivered this weekend will find use pretty quick.
They'll find use pretty quickly, and then I saw that it looked like our temperatures were going to drop Sunday night and Monday night, too, pretty low.
Yes, they are. They'll be down in the teens on Saturday night. Sunday morning, the temperatures will come in the mid-teens, only get up into the low to mid-20s on Sunday. Monday, back to maybe even the upper single numbers, about 8 to 12 degrees, maxing out just under 20 degrees on Monday, and then down all the way down to 0 to 4 above on Tuesday. So, yep, the cold weather is back.
It is back. What do you see further out? Anything? Are we going to get another set of snow later in the week, next week?
I don't think at this time the models are all trying to call for an abrupt change in this whole cold December pattern for the beginning of January, and they're looking for a much warmer pattern instead of a ridge in the west and a trough in the east, which makes us cold. They've got the reverse, a trough in the west, ridge in the east, warmer weather for January. The models like to do this, or the weather does like to do this at the year end, just around the first of the month in January. We often see a change in the climate. But in this case, I think it's a little premature because of the way the persistence of this pattern has been so strong. I'm in the category of I'll believe it when I see it type of forecast here.
Speaking of believe it, you have a very, very good Christmas and a happy holiday season.
Right. Thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody out there.
Mm-hmm. Pete Levitt is an agricultural meteorologist. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.